Right, if you can get your Bibles out tonight, 1 John chapter number 5. We'll start in verse 11. It says, "This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son." There's no eternal life outside of Jesus Christ. That's what it says. "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can come to it. And Lord, although we might have questions about things, Lord, you assure us of that and give us an assurance of our salvation. And Lord, give us security in knowing you. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for the promises that are held in this passage. And Lord, I pray that it would strengthen our faith here tonight and that we would trust you even further and believe you even more and love you even more and obey your commandments even more, Lord, that there'd be a stronger commitment to you. Lord, again, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your holiness. Lord, again, bless this service here tonight. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I love these verses. I use these verses regularly at people's doors when I'm telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll ask something very similar to this question. Do you know for sure that you have eternal life? I'll tell you, Brother Parrott, most times I get the answer of, "Well, I hope so." And not that I'm baiting somebody, but I kind of lead them in that question. If you were to die today, do you know for sure where you'd spend eternity? Well, I think so. Hey, let me show you what the Bible says. And we go to these passages, and the Bible says, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." The Bible says, and I don't quite say it like that, but with a gentle word and a kind and gracious tone, I say the Bible says here, you can know for sure that you have eternal life. We live in Rochester. Who knows what tomorrow is, right? And weather-wise, you have no idea. You could literally park your car at the gas pump and just watch the numbers change. We live in a world of uncertainty, but I want to tell you tonight, through Christ, we can have confidence of some things. He tells us here, you can know that you have eternal life. Eternal life isn't a wish, isn't a plea, isn't if I get these things in order. No, eternal life is a fact of having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For with a man, for in his heart if he believes those things, and with his mouth if he confesses those things, that Jesus Christ, yes, is the Savior of the world, that you need to be saved, that you need forgiveness of your sins, and you'll call upon the name of the Lord. Bible says, yes, I will give you that eternal life. And you no longer have to wonder about that. How many of you have ever, without lifting your hand, how many of you have ever doubted your salvation? Man, I wonder. I don't know. And then you go back to verses like this, and you're reminded of the security in Christ. How many of you have done some things that if salvation was contingent upon your behavior or your faithfulness to God, that would have been gone? Sure. Aren't you glad your security and your salvation isn't based on you? It's based on Him. John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29 says, "I'm going to put you in my hand, and I'm not going to let go." God says, you can know that you have eternal life. Hey, we live in a world, as I said, of complete uncertainty. But in this passage, I was taken with how many things we can know for sure. I was talking to a young man earlier before service, and we were talking about some just cultural things, sports things, and I asked him a question, and honestly, no matter what he told me, I would have believed him because I just didn't know the answer. And a lot of people approach the Word of God like that, or eternity like that. They just don't know the answer, and whatever they're told, they just believe. Hey, it's so good to have the Word of God that we can come to and know for sure. I got enough uncertainty to deal with in my life. I'm glad eternity is settled. Every time I get in my car and it starts, it's like, "Ooh, praise the Lord." Wasn't sure. I mean, we got somewhat dependable vehicles, but who would be surprised if their car didn't start? Not me. All right, here we go. Monday. I mean, this is what we do. Confidence. There is no doubt. Brother Kaiser mentioned it. Hey, if you got doubts about your eternity, that's just not godly. That's not where you ought to be. Why? Because the Bible says, if you know me, if you have the Son, you have life. It's not a feeling, it's a fact. Well, I haven't been doing so good lately, and I begin to question my own personal salvation. The Bible says that you know. There ought to be no doubts about your salvation. We're getting close to starting baseball season. Maybe. Who knows? They're talking money, and when money gets involved in anything, it gets messy. I like baseball. I really enjoy it. I like the stats. I like 162 games. I like watching averages and numbers. I like all that. I like the slowness of the game. I like listening to it on the radio. I enjoy it. I like hot dogs. I like going to the game and trying to catch a foul ball. I enjoy it. So why are you bringing all that up? Well, in baseball, there's the first place you go is to first base. When you get a hit, you run to first base. And once you get to first base, you're allowed to go to second base. And if the devil has you doubting about the very fundamentals of your faith, you know what? You're never going to grow. If he keeps you planted at, if you will, first base, just doubting your salvation, you're not going to continue on in your life. You're not going to grow. And that's his tactic. That's his way. He doesn't want you to know for sure. Why? Because it's really hard to build on something that you know don't know about. And I'm glad I can open up the Word of God and know that I have eternal life. Not based on my works, but based on the promise of God. Number two, look at this. Look at verse 14 and 15. And this is pay attention to some of these words. Verse 13, underline that word, know. It's not wish, it's not hope, it's not, I'm really banking on. No, it says that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Verse 14, and this is look at the word he uses, confidence. Nobody's got confidence about anything anymore. Why? Because we've wandered so far away from the Word of God, which is true and right 100% of the time. He says this, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Number one, I know for sure that I'm saved. I know for sure that I have eternal life. There is no doubt in my mind. Number two, I know I have confidence in this, that when I kneel down and I pray to God, he hears me. Man, that's good to know. I was talking to someone there on the telephone yesterday, and they were having problems with their phone. We're not going to get into brands or anything like that, Brother Rice. And there I was, and I'm talking to them, and I thought they were just really attentive, just listening to what I had to say. Because I listened to them for a while, I thought, oh, now they're listening to me for a while. There was no verbal assertion of agreement on the other end. There was no even clearing of a throat. There was no noise. I'm like, wow, they must be on like some sort of Bluetooth or something like that. Super clear. It was like I was almost talking to myself. And then my phone rings. And I look down and it's the person I was talking to. I answer, I'm like, hello? So sorry. I'm like, all right, what was the last thing you heard? About 2 minutes ago. Oh. He's like, I'm sorry, what were you saying? Never mind. Never mind. Hey, do you know that when you talk to the Lord, He hears you? The Bible says, and we know that He hears us. Hey, I got a lot of questions. I'm not sure about tomorrow. I'm not even sure about some of the things I've gone through in the past. But I know this. I have eternal life, and when I talk to God, He hears me. No doubt about that. Hey, when you talk to the Lord, do you know He hears you? He hears us. With that, it says that we know that we have the petitions. Not only did He hear us, sometimes we hear like our children are talking and it's that peripheral noise. And then they really get through, right? They have our attention. Or maybe vice versa. We're talking to our children. They're kind of hearing us, but we can tell by their body language that it's not really getting through. Do you understand that God takes our petitions? He considers them. Yesterday there was a knock at my door. We never get knocks at our door. That's strange. I'm like, uh-oh, where's the dog? You know, like, got out or something like that, or what's going on? And there was no car in the driveway. It was my neighbor. He works for the Republican town committee. He's like, time for signatures. Great. Petitions. Can you sign here? Can you sign there? And I thought about this verse and how that all works together. Isn't it good to know that our petitions are before the Lord? I know that. It's not just words or thoughts going into an empty place. The Bible tells me in Jeremiah 33:3 that when I call upon Him, He hears me. I know that. Who are those that can cry for help? Who are those that need to cry for help? Those that are needy. Those that are broken. Hey, can I help you with something? When you're broken in spirit, you feel like nobody cares. Nobody even wants to listen. God says, and it says, we know that He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, man, I have confidence in that. Even when I'm needy, even when I'm broken, even when I'm hurting, even when I'm lost and wandering, even when I'm overwhelmed, He hears us. And on the positive side, when we're honest and humble. As a parent, I can talk to God. As a child, you can talk to God. As a pastor, as a member, we can talk to the Lord. And we know that He hears us. Felt bad. Remember Brother Angusath? How many of you remember Brother Angusath? He was the pottery guy. Remember the pottery guy that came and preached? He called and left a message, and then the whole world turned upside down and we lost power. And like I really got disconnected with the world for a few minutes. And then Brother Kaiser was here, which, you know, I mean, with all that, and I didn't call him back. I'm usually really good at calling people back, usually. And he had to call back twice. Oh, I felt so bad. I answered the phone. He's like, Pastor Russo, it's Brother Angusath. I'm like, Brother, I am so sorry. I'm like, this is what happened, but no excuse. He goes, yeah, you know, I was talking to this guy, and he was up there, and the same thing happened to him. Don't worry about it. Man, I felt so horrible. So horrible knowing that he called, and I didn't respond. And you know that that never happens with the Lord. There's no voicemail. You don't call. You know, I'll get to that later. That guy's way down on my priority list. No, that's not how it is with the Lord. Do you know that your petitions have made it to the ear of God? I don't know a lot of things, but I know this. I have eternal life. My prayers are answered or heard. Number 3, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 18. We know, I hope you're circling these things. There's some things that we know for sure, that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. For sake of time, we'll not go through all the verses. I have them here. This will bring us into our study of Romans in about a month and a half from now. We still have homework, Mr. Parrott, for this Sunday?
Oh, yeah.
All right, read the book of Galatians. After that, we'll be in a study of Romans. In the book of Romans, there's a law of imputation. And what that states is, and if you need the verses, I can give them to you. Adam sinned and passed or credited all of mankind with sin. When we ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save us, we then impute our sin on Jesus Christ, and in turn, he imputes his righteousness to us. What a great deal. So then when I read this, and we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, that sin is no longer charged to my account. Not only does he give me eternal life, but I can live a life without the consequence of eternal sin. Man, that's a blessing. I don't have to worry about hell. Not that hell isn't a real place, but I know that my sin has been charged to Christ. And in place, I get his righteousness. So much so that that righteousness, one day in Revelation chapter 19, is going to turn into white linen, pure and clean. And we're going to stand before him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Kind of strange to me. The last thing I would want to wear at supper is a white garment, pure and clean.
Yeah.
Telling me there's probably not going to be any Italian food at the marriage supper of the Lamb. No spaghetti sauce there. But that's what happens. He says that our righteousness is somehow transferred into that pure and clean, fine linen garment. And how I know that. I know that I don't have to worry about not only do I have eternal life, but I don't have to worry about, man, is this going to send me to hell? That's a blessing. I know. Verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. Here's something that we are often confused by, and the devil will deceive us by. Oh, this world isn't all that bad. It breaks my heart to hear about the things that even some of our young people that attend a public school or someone in the world a little bit are exposed to at such a young age. This world is a wicked place. And it takes no prisoners. It doesn't take into account and say, oh, you know what, you're just a beautiful young little lady. We're going to keep you pure and clean. No, it wants to contaminate. It wants to ruin. It wants to destroy all that is right and good. I know that the world is wicked. Why? Because I've experienced it? No. How about this? How about we just take the Lord's word on it? The whole world lieth in wickedness. Apart from God, this world is a wicked place. If we doubt that, let us go back to the scriptures and see that. Ephesians chapter 5. Just hold your hand in 1 John, but let's read this. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. Just one verse and we'll move on to our last point. Ephesians 5:11 says this, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Why would God tell us that? Why? Because the world is wicked. And iniquity and sin is wrong and it's wicked and it's all all throughout this world. And God says, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Don't forget that. There's some things I know. Number one, I have eternal life. Number two, my prayers are heard. Number three, I don't have to worry about the consequence of hell. Number four, this world is wicked. And number five, look at this beautiful ending to this. Have you read 1 John before? Years ago, I went to a convention for our school. And I got to go to the pastor's, while the teachers were in supervisor training, I always got to go to one of the pastor sessions. And Brother Ballinger, do you know Mr. Ballinger? Brother Ballinger is teaching, and he's talking about this, and he said, I try and read a proverb every day. He goes, I read a chapter of Romans every day, and I read the entire book of 1 John every single day. He goes, and then I go through my regular Bible reading. So, well, that's a lot of time. I did it for a month of just reading 1 John every day. And that was helpful. There's some great things found in the book of 1 John. And here, as we conclude this beautiful chapter, a man that truly loved God, John, he says this, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us understanding, look at now, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Number five, we can know the Lord himself. A world of lies and deceit, it's a blessing to know that we may know the truth. We've all seen the images of a photographer taking a picture of something to make it look like something, and then they zoom out and show you what the actual scene is. You've ever seen one of those pictures before? Feel like, oh, you see one of those and go, I wonder how many times I've looked at that picture or a picture similar to that, and it affected my heart, only knowing that I've been lied to. You understand that as we read the Word of God, we're never lied to. That the book that you hold in your hand is 100% truth. Number one, Jesus Christ, the person, is truth. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, he is the way, the truth, and the life. John 1:1, go back there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and was God. And there we see a connection to Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ as the truth, so is the Word of God. If we want to know the truth, we need to know Jesus Christ and his Word. Sanctify them through thy truth. What is truth? Thy Word is truth. Fifth, tonight, I can know I have eternal life. I know that my prayers are heard. I know I don't have to deal with the consequences of hellfire. I know that this world is wicked. And fifth, I can know the truth because I can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can know the truth. There's no area of your life that the Word of God does not touch. There's a consequence in life of knowing what the truth is and walking away from it. It's not going to go good for you. It's the best to align yourself with the Word of God, have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and to walk in truth. Hey, we live in an uncertain world. But hear this passage. If you went to work tomorrow with your lost workers or maybe a school or whatever it is, your neighbor, and say, do you know you have eternal life? Do you know that your prayers are heard? Do you know that you do not have to worry about the consequences of hell? Do you know that this world is wicked? And do you know that you can know Jesus Christ personally? Man, imagine those five things. How much relief and peace would be found in just putting our life into that. Hey, don't push away the truth when Paul says, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? Sometimes we treat the Word of God as our enemy because it tells us the truth. Let's not push the Word of God away out of our life. Let's all stand. There is no doubt, there ought not to be a doubt, of the promise of eternal life. Number two, your prayers can be heard. Number three, Don't have to worry about the consequences of your sin. Number four, this world is wicked. That's a tricky one. Because the world will deceive you into thinking that it isn't. And that's when you let your guard down and you let things into your life that you never would have before. Do you know Jesus Christ personally? I think it was Pastor Seatman talking about it in his Sunday school class, and it really grabbed a hold of my heart and mind. He was talking about at the tomb where Mary saw Christ and she was afraid and he called out her name. If the Lord called out your name, would you be able to recognize it? You would if you spent time with him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for the things that we can know for sure. God, thank you for the confidence in your word. Thank you for the ability to know what truth is. Lord, I pray that we would take these things and make application personally in our life. Watch over us now. Protect us as we travel home. Lord, we need you. Lord, there is some brokenness. There's some hurt. God, it amazes me to know that even we're in that state, you hear us. Lord, watch over us now. Lord, we need you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.